This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. From Abadu, my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the revelation when it began. As we know, the first word revealed was read, iqra. We are an ummah which learns and reads, or at least it is supposed to do that. And it did that for centuries. For us, the command iqra means to read, to learn, to study. These words made a people, the Arabs of the Hejaz, and later on the people of the Middle East and North Africa, who did not have a rich literary history, and were mostly illiterate or unlettered, the scholars of the world. They read, they learned, they translated the works of others, and they not only benefited from it themselves, but they became the source of benefit for centuries later. They were the people who were the foundation for the Renaissance and the Renaissance in Europe. They were the foundation for all kinds of amazing scientific discoveries and developments in the world for centuries, for over 1,000 years, and all because they focused on reading and learning. As I mentioned in my last khutbah on this, I am not going to go into what happens today and so on and so forth. I think it is time for us to take stock of what we do and to change that and make it positive. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ never learned how to read and write. For him, the word iqra meant to recite and to repeat. Whatever revelation he repeated, he received, his job was to memorize it and recite it and repeat it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to remain unlettered, as that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan for him, so that nobody could claim that he was the author of the Quran, rather than that the Quran was divine revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذَا لَرْطَابَ الْمُبْتَلُونَ. Allah said, neither did you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read any book before this Quran, nor did you write any book whatsoever with your right hand, meaning with your hand. In that case, indeed the followers of falsehood might have doubted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this clearly and saying that the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was and remained unlettered. Sometimes people ask this question. They say, "Well, he may have begun with being unlettered, but you know, why didn't he learn to read? Why couldn't he learn to?" Of course, he could have. He had the opportunity. He could have learned to read and write, but that was not the plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for him, and therefore, he did not do it. After the beginning of the revelation, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, did not need to learn to read and write, because he used to receive knowledge directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no book that he needed to read, but for us, it emphasizes the importance of learning. After the Battle of Badr, Rasulullah ﷺ offered to release without ransom any prisoner who could teach 10 children to read and write. Now, that was a ransom to free the prisoner. Now, please note that the prisoners were not forced to accept Islam, right? But if they taught 10 children to read and write, they would be freed and sent back safely to their people. Now, today we have lost the habit of scholarship, of learning, of reading, of writing. Just ask any Muslim today to list the books that he or she has read in their lives, and you will see what has happened. We need to inculcate the desire to read in our children, even if we have become used to ignorance. We must also make reading goals, and goals for acquiring knowledge and memorizing Quran and so on and so forth. Now, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah writes about the kinds of wahi from the sunnah. We know from the different hadith the kinds of wahi, and Ibn al-Jawziyah rahmatullah Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahmatullah wrote about this in detail. Now he talks about the categories of wahi. So first he says is the period of true vision, Ru'yatul Haqq, which was dreams that Rasulullah ﷺ would see, and then next day this dream would come true. So he was given prior information of what was going to happen. Now Rasulullah ﷺ saw such dreams for 6 months before he received actual revelation. And if you look at the period of prophethood of 23 years, this is the ratio of this period to the period of prophethood, that is 6 months compared to out of 23 years. So we saw this dream for 6 months. Then from the Anbiya, as we know that for the Anbiya the dreams are one of the forms of wahi. For us there are three different kinds, on a side note, three different kinds of dreams. One is Ru'yatul Haqq, which is dreams which are true, but for us they are not wahi. So if you see a dream in which you see something good, and you see something, even if you are being apparently told to do something, you don't have to do it. If you see something, you don't have to make it come true or practice that. This is a dream, for us is only a dream, it's not wahi. Then we have dreams from shaitan, which is just nonsense. Sometimes they are frightening dreams, nightmares. Just forget about them. Sometimes they're just meaningless dreams. They come and go, we don't even remember them. So that's, for the Anbiya alayhi salam, dream is a form of wahi. The second one was where the angel, Jibreel alayhi salam, brought wahi and revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but was not visible to him. So this happened in a way where he could not see the angel. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah said, verily, the Ruhul Quds, I'm hesitating to translate this as it's usually translated as Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit has a very strong Christian connotation with the Trinity, and that's not what we believe. Ruhul Quds is the name given to Jibreel alayhi salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily the Holy Spirit, meaning Ruhul Quds, which is Ruhul Qudus, which is Jibreel alayhi salam, inspired in my mind that a soul will never die, a person will never die, until it finishes its term and consumes its provision. So until your risk is over, you cannot die. Thus, be graceful in seeking provision. So don't tire yourselves out, don't humiliate yourself. Be graceful in seeking provision, and let not one of you allow the delay of provision to compel him to seek it by disobedience. So if you are trying to earn a living and there is a delay, then don't fall into haram. This is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi was saying. Verily, Allah does not grant what is with him but by obedience. So he says, Allah will not give you something from what Allah has except by obedience. Allah will not, there is no khair in haram. This is the meaning of the hadith, and this is something which Rasulullah received while he could not see the angel. Now, third one is where the angel appeared in human form. Now, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, this is the famous Hadith Jibreel, where he said that we were sitting with Rasulullah when a man came and appeared suddenly, and he was wearing very white clothes and he had very dark, very black hair. There was no signs of travel on him, and we did not recognize him. So they didn't know who the person was. He sat down in front of the Prophet ﷺ, rested his knees by his knees. So in the way he sat, like as if he's sitting in tashahud, then Nabi ﷺ was also sitting in the same position. And this man, his knees touched the blessed knees of Rasulullah ﷺ. So the Sahaba, this was very strange, because they didn't come close to the Prophet ﷺ. They did not touch his body. They stood, they out of respect, they always maintained a certain power distance or respect distance from the blessed body of Rasulullah ﷺ. But this man came and he sat where his knee was touching the knee of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he placed his hands on his thigh. So he leaned forward, he put his hands on the thighs of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like this. Now, for the Sahaba, this was very, very strange. And then the man said, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell me about Islam. Akhbirni anil Islam. He said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. Now again, to address Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just by his name, Muhammad, was very, very... The Muslims never did it, even including his wife, Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha used to call him Ya Rasulullah. Right? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha used to call him Ya Rasulullah. They did not say Ya Muhammad. So it was considered to just address Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just by his name was considered to be disrespectful, and so the Sahaba were very perturbed by this behavior of this unknown person. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't seem to mind it at all. He was not bothered. He didn't say anything. They did not see on his blessed face any sign of dislike for this behavior. And that was also very strange for them. So this man said, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell me about Islam. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Islam is to testify, is to bear witness that there is no God but Allah. And that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the messenger of Allah. So this is the Kalima Tayyiba, that there is no God, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the messenger of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then he said, and then to establish Salah, to give charity, to fast the month of Ramadan, and to perform Hajj, the pilgrimage to the house, if a way is possible. That means if the person can do it, they should do it. Now another strange thing, this man then said, you have spoken truthfully. Now Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says, we were very surprised that he asked him a question and then he said he was truthful. So this is not, it doesn't seem to be that the man is asking a question because he does not know the answer. He's not asking to find out the answer. It's almost like an exam. He's asking a question and when he gets the right answer, he says, yes, that is the right answer. So Sayyidina Umar said, radiallahu anhu, he said, we were very surprised. Then the man said, tell me about faith, tell me about Iman. Right? So first he said, tell me about Islam. And then he says, tell me about Iman. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Iman is to believe in Allah, His Malaika, His angels, His books, His messengers, all the Anbiya, the last day, and to believe in destiny, the good and the evil of it. Not just one, he said, destiny, good and it's evil. The man said, you have spoken truthfully. And then he said, tell me about Al-Ihsan, about excellence. He said, what is that? He asked the man. So Rasulullah said, Al-Ihsan, he said, Ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you can see Him. And if you cannot see Him, know that He sees you. Is to worship Allah as if you see Him, and if you do not see Him, He surely sees you. The man says then, tell me about the final hour. Rasulullah said, the one asked does not know more than the one who is asking. The man said, tell me about its signs. Rasulullah said, the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, and you will see barefoot, naked, and dependent shepherds compete in the construction of tall buildings. Then the man went away. Right, he got up and left. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, and I remained. Rasulullah said to me, O Umar, do you know who he was? Sayyidina Umar says, I said, Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. Rasulullah said, verily he was Jibreel alayhi salam, who came to teach you your religion. He was Jibreel alayhi salam, who came to teach you your religion. So this was another form of wahi, where the angel came in the form of a human being. Number four, the angel came like the toll of a bell. Right, he came like the toll of a bell. The angel used to come and seize him tightly, and sweat would flow from his brow. Rasulullah used to feel a huge weight, and he used to hear a ringing sound. And some of the Sahaba said maybe that was the sound of the vibrating of the wings of the angel. Allah knows best. Sometimes he received this kind of wahi when he was riding his camel, and the camel would be forced to kneel by the weight that it felt on top of it. Can you imagine? I mean, this is a weight-bearing animal. It's a beast of burden, and it can carry huge weights. That's one of the reasons why they have camels, because of the weight they can carry. But this camel was forced, because of this weight of the wahi, to kneel down. On one occasion, there is a beautiful story from the seerah where Rasulullah was lying with his blessed head on the thigh of one of his companions, one of the sahaba. He was lying, you know, with his head in his lap when he started receiving wahi. And this sahabi said, I saw him starting to sweat, and he said, the weight on my thigh became so heavy that I thought my bone would break. That didn't happen, but he said, that's how painful it was for me, and I'm just sitting there with his blessed head in my lap. This also gives us an indication of how Rasulullah was so close to his companions. He was such a, you know, wonderful friend that they loved him, and he was not intimidating in presence, right? Many times people get a lot of kick from being very intimidating in their presence, and nobody comes close to them and so on. But this was not Rasulullah Sallam. He was very friendly with people. He would hug people. He would kiss them. He would shake their hand. He would say to somebody, I love you. He said this to Mu'adh bin Jabal and other people. He said, I love you, Mu'adh, and so on. Now imagine how they would have felt, right? That's why they were so close to him, because they got so many positive vibes from him all the time. Another form of wahi, number five, was Rasulullah Sallam would see Jibreel alayhi salam in his actual form. The first time he saw that, it happened twice. The first time he saw that, he was very terrified, because he saw Jibreel alayhi salam sitting in the middle of the horizon on a huge throne, and he said that his wings on either side stretched to the end of the horizon on either side. And another time he said he has 600 wings. So the wings covered the horizon literally from east to west. And that is, you know, how powerful that vision was. And the last one, the sixth one, was where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam directly without any intermediary. This is what happened in the Isra wal Mi'raj, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended to the seventh heaven and beyond Sidratul Muntaha. And this also happened to Musa alayhi salam, for example. It happened to also Ibrahim alayhi salam. So many several of the Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to them directly, and of course Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one of them. Now, people who accepted the message first, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was initially asked to keep his message private and not to make it public. He was asked to preach only to those who were closest to him. So he preached to his direct family. So Khadija bint Khuwailid radiallahu anha was the first among all people, men or women, to accept Islam. And obviously she was the first among the women. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the first adult man to accept Islam. Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, at that time he was a slave. Later on, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam freed him and adopted him as a son. So Zayd bin Haritha was the first slave, and Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was the first child who accepted Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited his immediate family, the Banu Hashim, and for a meal. And he he invited all of them and he gave them da'wah, he told them about Islam. People like Abu Lahab and all that and others, they just got up and walked away. They did not even eat food, which was very, very unlike the normal Arab tradition. But that's how they were, how strongly they were opposed to him and to his message. On a side note, since we are talking here about the immediate family of Rasulullah, let me also mention here, these are names that we should memorize and we should know. Rasulullah had four daughters. Ruqayya bint Muhammad, Umm Kulthum bint Muhammad, Zainab bint Muhammad, and Fatima Zahra bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. These were the the four daughters of Rasulullah, and he had three sons, Abdullah ibn Muhammad and Qasim. So Abdullah bin Muhammad and Qasim bin Muhammad and Ibrahim bin Muhammad from his wife Maria Qibtiya radiallahu anha, who was the Egyptian princess that he married. So Abdullah and Qasim and Ibrahim. Now Rasulullah's kunya was Abu Qasim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of them. All his sons died in infancy. All his daughters except Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha died in his lifetime. So his lineage is through his daughter Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha. Now just pause for a bit and think about this. One of the greatest tragedies is for a parent to witness the death of his or her child. Sometimes people go insane with grief. They complain about fate and they blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people even lose their faith. But here we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't lose one child, but he lost all his children, except one. Yet, all that he ever said was, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. All praise and thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the constant refrain in his blessed life. Praise and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in every situation. In strength and weakness, in happiness and pain, in health and sickness, in wealth and poverty. At all times and places, in every situation, all that Rasulullah ﷺ did was to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever that may be. This is the meaning, this is the essence, this is the reality of Ridha bil Qada. to be pleased with the destiny, the Qada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a huge lesson for us. And the greatest evidence that this life is temporary and it is our eternal life that we must truly be concerned about. Then we come to the public calling. Rasulullah was directed to preach Islam in public when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura said, and warn your tribe, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of near kindred. Now, how did he do that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He went and stood on the hill of Safa, and he called out, "Wa Subaha." Now, this was like an alarm call. This was like, you know, people rushed from everywhere and gathered. This was something that somebody used to call out if there was an emergency. Now, when they gathered there, who do they see on the mountain? They say Muhammad Ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one that they had called, the khitab, the laqab, the title they had given him was As-Sadiqul Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy. So here this person was the truthful and trustworthy, and he's standing on this hilltop and he's calling people, the emergency call. So obviously it is something which is so critical, so important, potentially something that they must really pay attention to. All of this must have been going on in their minds. And then Rasulullah said to them, if I told you that there is an army behind this hill, will you believe me? They said, you have never lied to us. You have never lied to us and we will believe you. He said, I have come to warn you of a severe punishment. Right? Meaning that if you do not leave your idol worship, if you do not leave worshipping anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you do not worship, if you do not leave shirk, then I have come to warn you about a severe punishment. Now this is the way of the Anbiya alayhi salam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered to convey the message pure, plainly, without any doubt and confusion. So the Anbiya did not use diplomacy and sweet talk or any way. They spoke clearly and directly. Now think about this. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa had asked for advice, right? If he had asked you for advice and said, I need to give this message, what do you think is the best way? And supposing he had said, I'm thinking of doing it this way, I'm thinking of going and standing on the mountain, calling people, and when they come, I'm going to tell them straight directly to the face in so many words. If you don't leave this worship of your gods and so on that you've created, if you don't leave idol worship, I'm warning you of a severe punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be in trouble before Allah, before your own creator. What would you say? I'll bet you that you will say to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever else you do, don't do it this way. Right? What exactly you should do, maybe right now you don't have the ideas in your mind, maybe you need some time to think about that, but definitely do not do it this way, because if you do it this way, it is too direct, it is too much in the face, it is too adversarial, it is too hard, harsh, right? I'm sure this is the advice and this is what we would have said to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But remember, he was marching to a tune that came to him from the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his way was the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired him, what Allah had given him. So he said it like it is. Now, what was the reaction of people? Abu Lahab, his uncle. Now, who's Abu Lahab? Abu Lahab is his own uncle. Now, especially in the Arab tradition, but also everywhere else, the uncle is in the place of the father. Especially if the father has passed away, the uncle is in the place of the father. In the Arab tradition, it is very much so. The am is like the father. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, a slave girl came to Abu Lahab and gave him this good news to say that your son, your brother Abdullah, who's passed away, in his house, his wife Amina has a baby, a boy is born. Abu Lahab was so happy that he freed the slave and he gave her two gold bangles. So Abu Lahab loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He liked him very much. He was very close to him. He saw him as his own son. He was not antagonistic. But suddenly, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Abu Lahab went 180 degrees, completely opposite. So when he also came, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Pasubaha, he also came. He left his shop, his business, he came. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this to him and to all the people, that if you do not leave idol worship, you will put yourself into trouble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Tabban laka sar al yawm ali hadha jama'atana. He said, may evil befall you for the rest of the day. Is this why you called us? Imagine, here is a man, here is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam calling towards goodness, and this man is cursing him. This is what happens with a lot of people when they face haq, when they face the truth. Abu Lahab could have just listened to that, ignored it and gone home, right? He need not have said anything. I'm not saying he should have accepted it. Even if he didn't accept it, he could have turned around and gone home, which is what a lot of people did, if not all of them. They didn't curse, but he cursed. Now, why? Think about that. According to Abu Lahab, calling a person out from a business and talking to him about Akhirah, which is taking him away from this dunya and talking to him about Akhirah, is a waste of time. And he thought this is a loss, right? Now, Such people, they don't mind spending time to talk about anything in the dunya, but not about salvation, not about the akhirah. May Allah protect us. This is our attitude to this day. Now, what was the result of that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, Tabbat yada abi lahabi wa tab. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Sayasla naran dhat al-hab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, perish the two hands of Abu Lahab. And may he perish. His wealth and his children will not benefit him. And he will be burnt in a fire of blazing flames. Now this surah is a miracle of the Quran because it was revealed while Abu Lahab and his wife were alive. Because the surah continues about his wife. وَمْرَأَتُهُ هَمَّا لَتَ الْحَدَبِ فِي جِيدِهَا هَبْلُ مِنْ مَسَدِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his wife also used to do bad stuff. She used to throw thorns in the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and so on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also cursed her and promised her Jahannam. Now this surah was revealed during their lifetime. They knew the surah. And it said, in the surah said that they were in the hellfire. So if they wanted to prove the Quran wrong, all they had to do was accept Islam, even if they pretend to do that. But they did not. And they died on kufr. So this surah itself is a miracle of the Quran. More inshallah, in the next session, the thing to reflect and think about here is, what is our responsibility? And Rasulullah ﷺ showed us what that responsibility is. It is up to us to fulfill it and follow it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rabbal alamin.